So please do, Vincey, if you'd join us. Well, there's a table over here. What would be good to get yourself? We're going to be working in groups of four. So, or four or three. Two would be too few. More than four would be too many. So if you can make sure that you're thinking eventually to get yourself in a table, that would be great. And you should all have a copy of the handout. If you haven't got one, Sam, do you want one? We've got some spare here. Great. Do you want some?
Is it the same as last week?
Yeah, same as last week's. Is it same as last week's? There we are. Anybody else want? Yep.
Thank
you very much. There we are. Okay, and you can have a choice if you, yep. Great, so for those who weren't here last week, I'm going to do a very great back. That diagram of the first one is just thinking about is this true of any sort of skill where you're beginning to learn or something? We start off kind of unconscious incompetent. You know, we don't realize what we don't know. We're not very good. That's true. Children are very good at that, being experts. And then conscious incompetence means that actually we realize that we're not very good at something. Conscious competence means you're getting some skills, you know how to do it, but you're kind of have to think about how you do it each time. And unconscious competence is that you just don't think about it, you just do it. So driving, I thought, was a classic one, is that after you've been driving for a while, you don't think about what I'm doing when you drive, you just get it and do it. Whereas when you're starting off driving, you get off and think, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. So that's true. What we would love to do is think that wherever we are, is get in a practice when it comes to sharing our faith, that we are making progress. It doesn't matter where we start on this, but that we're making progress in doing that. And then we looked at that passage in Colossians, which just reminded us that actually God wants to use us. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So Paul prays for clarity and for opportunity, and actually expects all Christians to be, in a sense, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. He's not here on a thinking about a new subject. He's thinking about that we make the most of every opportunity. And so we thought about actually what's the first step to share in everyday conversation. It's realized that God wants us to do just that, that he specifically wants to use us wherever we are, where we've been put. And the wonderful thing about the church, we're gathered here, aren't we, on a Sunday, but the rest of the week, we're all over the place, in different streets and family, and the Lord, in his sovereignty, has put us there, in that place, with the contacts that we have, to be his ambassadors. And then the second step, that's the first thing, is to consciously pray for opportunities. That's what Paul asks, devote yourselves to prayer. And then Paul says, also pray for me in it. But one of the things that we can do is pray, Lord, please give me opportunities to speak about you with others. And I suggested the good prayer to add, and don't be subtle with me. In other words, please give me opportunities. And I just thought, remember we talked about last time, I think if we just committed as a church and as individuals to be praying that each day, each week, and as an ongoing thing, I think we'll find that the Lord will give us more opportunities. So that was what we thought about. And then we began to think about, actually, one of the key things is just to ask questions. And I put on the handout some questions if you want to get it is possible to turn, if it's you think it's right, a question, somebody knows that you're a Christian, do you have a faith? I find that's the one I use the most. I think it's quite a non-threatening, you're not saying, are you a Christian? You know, say, do you have a faith, or do you have a worldview? But there are some suggestions there of questions that we can ask. What I want us to do today, and we're going to spend all our time on it because we're starting a bit late and we do all finish at 2:30, is to practice telling our story, giving our testimony. And you'll see that I put that under on the handout, be telling your story. Before we do that, if you've got a Bible, or just turn quickly to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 on page 1219 in the church Bibles. I'll just read the context. So remember, Peter is talking to Christians who are suffering. And they're suffering really, badly for their faith. And then in this section, he says, beginning of chapter 3, verse 13, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. It's very easy to be frightened, isn't it? So I think it's very easy when we know that we're living in a culture where it's pretty secular, some areas quite militantly secular, for us to feel slightly, when it comes to it. But what he says, instead, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. And that's where it all begins for us, isn't it? That's what when we pray that prayer, Lord, give me opportunities. We're saying, Lord, you are Lord. You're on the throne. I want you on the throne of my life, my priorities. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And then always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And very interesting, he has it, but do this with gentleness and respect. It's no way is it ramming down people's throats. So we're never whenever we speak to people about things, it's to do with gentleness and respect. So if somebody doesn't want us to talk to them about it, we don't talk to them about it. Because that's not being respectful, is it? If somebody doesn't want to, but we might encourage them, but it's not pushing it or forcing it. But being prepared, and that's what I think, one of the best ways we can be prepared, I think, is being able to tell our story of how we came to faith. And what I thought we'd do is, rather than just talk about, we're going to practice doing that. So we're all going to have a go at doing it. All right? So just background, how to telling a story. Why is this a good way of explaining the gospel? I put down 3 points. First, because you yourself are an illustration of the power of the gospel. Every one of us here who knows and loves the Lord Jesus, we are an illustration of the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ in people. And nobody has got a better testimony than others, because actually everyone has got a testimony of how God has worked to draw them to himself. And what I'm going to be thinking about exploring is how can we do that better? Or how can we do that in a way? But just to say, you have got, whoever you are, if you know and love the Lord Jesus, you have got the most wonderful testimony of the grace of God working in your life. It is utterly brilliant. And realize how wonderful it is. So one of the things I'm going to hope that we're all going to be hugely encouraged as we hear other people's stories this afternoon. Okay. So the first thing is that you are a wonderful illustration of the power of the gospel. The other thing is you're an expert on it. Nobody can actually contradict you and say, oh, it doesn't happen to you. You're telling what's happened, your perspective of the story. So you are the expert, and nobody has the right to say, well, that's not right. So it is really one of the easiest ways, I think, of being able to share the gospel where the opportunity arises. And if you get into conversation with people, they might say, well, how do you become a Christian? It's not uncommon how people ask that question. Okay. So what I thought I might do is give you a bit of illustration of a little bit of mine. I put 3 hints of how we think about it, and we can just on our tables as we do this to try and help each other. So what I'm wanting us to do, this is why I said in groups of three or four, we may do it in groups of three so that we can have time. I'm going to ask you to spread out then. Is that one of you, just everybody's going to have a go, all right? have a go. No, just have a go. We try to keep it short. And it's just to talk about, think of it in three parts, of your attitude to life and the Jesus Christ before Christ became, you became consciously real for you. So I'll explain, I was brought up in a Christian home, I'll talk about how it happened for me. And, you know, you're the expert, and there's not a sort of a neat way of explaining it. It'll be true, but you may have not have ever articulated that. For some of us, it's became very clear. What was how you thought of things beforehand, how you know, you met Christ and understood what he'd done for you, and what difference has it made. If you want to think, you can think of it in those kind of three sections. And it doesn't matter, you may spend a bit more time on one than on the other, but just get used to expressing your story. And I think helpful things when we're doing it, don't use religious language, try not to, it's very easy how we do that. Don't get into too much detail. I mean, it depends. You know, depends. You judge it by, and try to keep the focus on Jesus rather than yourself. And I thought I might, meaning by that is, try talk about Jesus rather than church. All right. So let me give you a bit of a straightforward mindset. I'll tell you my story. So I had the great privilege of being brought up in a loving Christian home. I was always familiar with the person of Jesus, went to church as a family. But I suppose I had no sort of conscious personal response relating to Jesus until I was about 11. And I went on a kind of Christian holiday party. And during that time, I mean, I just loved it, lots of activities, the people were great. But the Christian message was explained to me in a very sort of clear, simple, systematic way, that this is God's world and that he made the world. And I believe that. And I talked about how actually we've all, you know, not lived the way that God wanted us to do, that we've done things which offended God and hurt God. And as an 11-year-old, I could recognize, yeah, I'd done that. And then I had, because I knew about Jesus, but I'd never think had it then, I understood that the whole reason why Jesus came into the world was not only to reveal God to us, but also to deal with that problem of our wrongdoing, what the Bible calls sin. And, you know, I can remember a person explaining about Christ, Lord Jesus, dying on the cross to take the penalty for our rebellion, the wrong things that we've done. And that was a great rescue. And that if we receive Jesus, we can know God's love and forgiveness and friendship. And as an 11-year-old, I thought, I want that. And I can remember consciously praying that night by my bed, asking Jesus to come into my life. And I look back to the start of my Christian, conscious Christian journey then. And I could go on, which I won't, to talk about how I, you know, talking to different people, I could bring up different parts of my story. But that's one just a little bit. But in by doing that, I'm explaining the gospel. All right? Do you want to have a go at doing that? So what is fun, we're just going to have a lot of fun. So why don't you spread that into threes? Because I think, yeah, we've got the threes, all right? And it may be a good idea for this one, for husbands and wives, to be very brave and go with someone else. So if you feel that way, you know, you can try that. Somebody could come into me. I'm very lonely here. I'm all on my own. Some have fun. I tell you, I mean, it is just lovely, isn't it? Hearing other people's stories, is it? And the thing I think to try and think about is, can I tell my story better or more clearly? Or is there a way that I can do it which helps talk about Jesus more? So you've had a go at it. We're just doing a couple of sessions now. The thing is, we're not going to get better if we don't step out and try. So I just think that's one thing to be possibly praying for, is, Lord, please give me opportunity. Try and put that on your prayer diary or something, or in a book, Lord, give me an opportunity, and then help, give me the courage to take it. Because there's always a sort of, like, I might still find it, sort of often an embarrassment, or there's a step I'm having to do. But those you've got some friends, you've already got good relationships with, if you've never had a kind of spiritual conversation, you've never really ever got to it, you can ask that question. I've never asked, do you have a faith? And just see what happens. Just ask that one question, do you have a faith? In that sort of tone of voice. And see what happens. And if it's clear the person doesn't want to talk about it, don't pursue it. But or they ask, yeah, not really sure. Why do you think? Just keep asking questions. And they might tell more. And the trouble is, if we do that, then it's quite likely that they'll say, well, what about you? And that's what we've been practicing today. Hopefully it gets an opportunity of how we can say a little bit more. All right? It is 5:30. We will finish. Why don't just two or three of us just lead in prayer and perhaps pray that.